لأغريته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء. ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت ينابيع الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. In the light of this hadith of our beloved Prophet, we were discussing the 25 practical tips, and we are almost close to the end today of this segment. The point which is to be mentioned tonight is, I think, probably the second last of these series of points, which is about the we were discussing the practical tips that were mentioned by Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi al-Tabatabai Bahrul Ulum rahmatullahi alayh. And the second last is the husnul khulq. Husnul khulq means good moral behavior. This is something which is of a fundamental, asasi importance in Islam. The tree of Islam, if you visualize the whole religion in the form of a tree, the stem of this tree, the roots are obviously the usul al-deen, the belief system. The branches are all obviously the furu' al-deen, salat and saum and zakat and khums and hajj and fitra and all of amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar and tawalli and tabarri and all that, and jihad. And obviously these 10 that we count are the most important of the wajibat. That's not the entire list. We have huge, long list of wajibat, but we just mentioned the furu' al-deen as the most important ones are these. But this is not the only wajibat. And the stem of the tree over which the branches are resting is the akhlaq, Islamic moral teachings. And moral teachings are such that no matter what level and marhala we reach in our life, we still need nasihat, advice from those who are higher than us in their mahnaviyat, in their ruhaniyat, in their spirituality. Ayatullah al-Uzma Shaykh al-Ansari rahmatullahi alayh this great marji of ours, Sahib al-Rasail wal-Makasib, the writer of the famous two books of Rasail wal-Makasib, which are part of the syllabus of every hauza in the world. Every hauza teaches Rasail wal-Makasib, which is taught in the 5th and 6th and 7th grades of education. And my teacher Ayatullah Mishkini rahmatullahi alayh, he said in his lecture that anyone who can understand one page of Kitab al-Makasib is a mujtahid, because it takes your ijtihad to understand all the details which is mentioned in that page. In every page there's so many details, with only if you have the isti'dad, the capability of ijtihad, then you can understand what all the ma'ani and the qa'iq and details which are mentioned by Shaykh Ansari. It's not an easy book. So Shaykh Ansari rahmatullahi alayhi used to go to Ayatullah al-Uzma Shaykh al-Hamadani, who was not a marji', he was his class fellow. And he used to go to his class fellow Ayatullah al-Uzma Shaykh al-Hamadani every Thursday to seek nasihat from him. He himself is a marji', and Ayatullah al-Uzma Hamadani is not a marji'. But this is how we find that even our maraji', even those who are at the highest levels, are not above the advices. Everybody needs advices. We need to take advice. As soon as you find somebody has higher ruhaniyat than you, the first thing we should seek is ma'navi advice from that person, which so that we can benefit spiritually from that person. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that good morals, melts down the sins like the sunshine melts down the ice. Just like the sunshine melts the ice, good morals of a person melts down the sins. And also, on other hand, we have hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam where he says that Aballahu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects to accept the tawbah of the person who is bad in his morals. Sayyi'ul khulq. If there's somebody who is bad in his morals, Allah does not accept his tawbah. Because this kind of person, this person, whenever he comes out from one sin, he enters into the other. He may be doing tawbah from, in other words, he is doing tawbah from one sin, but then he misbehaves towards somebody and he enters into another sin. Isn't it right? So a person who has a bad attitude, even if he performs tawbah, is not accepted unless and until we first straighten our attitude. So akhlaq has no excuse for anybody. We are not here to misbehave towards the people. And the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says that the most resembling mushabih, the most resembling person among you towards me is the one who has the best morals. Prophet did not say the most mushabih and resembling person among you is the one who says Salatul Layl. Prophet did not say that. You may pray Salatul Layl, but that does not make you the most mushabih person to Rasulullah. No. If you want to become the most mushabih to Rasulullah, you have to make your morals good. That's the most significant attribute, although all the sifat of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, are great. But there is only one sifat, one attribute which Allah mentions in the Quran as azim. Although all his sifat are azim, but Allah, when he talks about his akhlaq, Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You don't find any other sifat, any other attribute of Rasulullah mentioned with the adjective and sifat of azim in Quran. Although all his sifat are azim. But this shows, if we can understand, Allah is singling out one sifat of Rasulullah and mentioning it with the sifat of azim. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. This is something which is extremely, beloved in the eyes of Allah. It is لَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. So we learn in the light of this verse that Prophet had bad morals, harsh in his behavior, people would have been dispersed away from him. Despite the fact that people, every teaching of Rasulullah is haq, but even if your teachings, even if your kalam, even if your statements are haq, but if you present it in a bad way, you have bad behavior towards the people, people will run away from you. Nobody is going to care about the Prophet. So it's the akhlaq of the Holy Prophet that spread the Islam in the real sense, and it's the akhlaq of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt that actually caused the people to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when it comes to our behavior towards fellow mu'min brothers, we should be taking their behaviors according to husnul dhan. Husnul dhan means having good thoughts. Having good thoughts about the behavior. If you find somebody doing something, there's one wrong possibility, one wrong probability, one wrong ihtimal, and there's one good ihtimal and good possibility. The Islamic morality says that لَا تَهُنَّنَّ بِكَلِمَةٍ خَرَجَتْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ سُوءًا وَأَنْتَ تَجَدُ لَهَا فِي الْخَيْرِ مُحْتَمَلًا. That means you don't think wrongly, badly about any word that has been said by somebody as long as you find, one good ihtimal about that word. So maybe he was not meaning this bad in the bad sense. Maybe because if there is a good sense possible, we should try to take the word on the good meaning instead of taking it towards the bad meaning. Or if there is an action done by somebody, as long as there is an ihtimal, if you have yaqeen that somebody did wrong, obviously that's wrong. You have yaqeen. If you have yaqeen, we're not talking about yaqeen, we're talking about the case where we have one and guman. So when you have one, and there is an ihtimal of good possibility and khair possibility, we are not supposed to do su'ul dhan towards the mu'mineen and the fellow mu'min brothers. And this same actually applies towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Husnul dhan towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَا أُعْطِيَ مُؤْمِنٌ قَدْ خَيْرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا بِحُسْنُ ظَنِّهِ بِاللَّهِ. And I swear to that Allah, there's no one worthy of worshipping except Him. No mu'min has been given the best of dunya and akhirat except because of his husna dhan towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards Allah, and his waraja'ihi lahu, and his hope towards Allah. So we should not hope. Whatever hope you attach with Allah, Allah will do according to your hopes, inshallah. So don't have a bad hope and bad dhan towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should keep the hope alive. I already mentioned in one of my previous speeches, I remember the Nazariyatul Khawf wa Raja in Islam, the Islam concept of Khawf and Raja in the sifat of a mu'min, Khawf and Raja, fear for getting punished because of our own sins, and Raja means hope in the rahmat and mercy and and the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we do the tawbah. So if you find in the heart of a mu'min, khawf and raja, fear and hope are exactly equal. Never ever the khawf in ilmul akhlaq, it is told that the khawf should never be more than the raja, and the raja should never be more than the khawf. If the khawf is more, a person loses the raja, he may end up becoming ma'yus and disappointed from Allah's rahmat, which is kufr, because his khawf is getting more, isn't it right? If the raja is more, he may end up having jur'at over ma'asi, doing sins, because he has more hope than the fear, so he may continue doing more and more sins. Then Allah will forgive it. Allah will forgive it. And this ma'asiyat, one after the other, makes a person qasiyul qalb, stone hearted, and then makes a person shaqiyul qalb, which is point of no return, and leads us towards the hell. So one sin over the other is not a good sign. It leads us eventually towards the hellfire. And so this is all going to happen because of the disbalance taking place between the concept of khawf and raja in the qalb. So basically, husnul dhan towards Allah and raja. وَقَالَ وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَا يُحْسَنُ ظَنُّ عَبْدِ مُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا كَانَ اللَّهِ عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Whenever a mu'min person has husnul dhan towards Allah, Allah will always be doing according to that dhan towards that mu'min. Then Allah kareemun biyadihi al-khayrat, because Allah is kareem and all the goodnesses are in His hands. يستحيي أن يكون عبده المؤمن قد أحسن به الظن ثم يخلف ظنه ورجاءه. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels haya to basically, in other words, go against the dhan of his and the raja of the mu'min. فَأَحْسَنُوا بِاللَّهِ الظن وَرْغَبُوا إِلَيْهِ. So we need to have good dhan towards Allah and rabbat towards Him. And also in another hadith we find that husnul dhan billah, it's actually أَنْ لَا تَرْجُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَلَا تَخَافُ إِلَّا ذَنْبَكَ. Husnul dhan towards Allah means that you have no hope except in Allah. So we don't attach hopes with the people, we don't attach hopes to the asbab. Islam is asking us to break away from the asbab. Isn't that right? Al-infita' ilahi habli kamal al-infita' ilayk wa anir absara qulubina bi dhiya'i nazariha ilayk. Isn't that right? So munajat sha'bani. So we are asked to break away from the asbab. So we don't deny the asbab, but we break away. We don't attach hope to the asbab. This person is going to do this and this and this for me. Okay, let me go and talk to this person and he will take care of my job. Now this person, if you are attaching your hope with this person by breaking away from Allah, this is a failure. We are not supposed to attach no hope with any of the asbab. Instead, the husnul dhan concept says that you attach your hope with no one other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَخَافُ إِلَّا ذَنْبَكَ. And don't be afraid except of your own sin. So this is how we are supposed to behave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards the ada haqq al-mu'min, giving away, performing our obligations towards the fellow mu'min brothers. That's the most beloved thing in the eyes of Allah. عُبِدَ اللَّهُ بِشَيْءٍ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ أَدَىٰ حَقِّ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not worshipped with anything better than fulfilling the haqq of a mu'min. If your mu'min has a haqq on you, that's what we are supposed to fulfill. And what is the haqq of a mu'min? مِنْ حَقِّ الْمُؤْمِنِ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ. Among the huquq of a mu'min on his brother, أخيه المؤمن on his mu'min fellow mu'min brother is أن يشبع جوعته. That means if he's hungry, you provide food to him. وَيُوَارِ عَوْرَتَهُ. That means if he doesn't have clothes to wear, you provide clothes to him. وَيُفَرِّجْ قُرْبَتَهُ. If he is in the hardship, you help him out in the hard times, in the hardship, in his troubled time. وَيُقْضِي دَيْنَهُ. If he has loan, you have the money, you can take care of his loan. You pay him, you help him out in this matter. فَإِذَا مَاتَ فَلَّفَهُ فِي أَهْلِهِ وَوُلِّهِ. In other words, when the woman passes away, we basically take care of his family and his children. So these are some of the huquq. And also in another hadith we learn, إِنَّ مِنْ حَقِّ الْمُؤْمِنَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنَ الْمَوَدَّ لَهُ فِي صَدْرِهِ. We have love towards him in our sadr, in our chest. وَالْمُوَاسَاتْ لَهُ فِي مَالِهِ. Help him out in his money. وَالْخَلَفْ لَهُ فِي أَهْلِهِ. وَالْنُصْرَ لَهُ عَلَى مَنْ ظَلَمَهُ. And we, in other words, provide him help towards his family and help towards against the one who is doing zulm on him, against the one who has done zulm on him. So basically, these are our moral responsibilities towards our fellow, some of the moral responsibilities towards our fellow Muslim brothers. Now coming to the next point, and the last point of this series of 25 points, is the concept of tawakkul and tawajjuh towards tahsil or risk ijmalan. See, Ayatullah al-Uzma Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai Bahrul Ulum Rahmatullah Alayh. So these are very important points for us to remember. Tawajjuh towards the kasbul al-kasb and earning the risk ijmalan. Sometimes some people are focused on their matters of risk and making money more than what is necessary. Everybody needs money to live a respectable living. Isn't it right? It's wajib. Al-kaddu ala ayalihi kal-mujahid fi sabidullah. Someone who earns money for his family is like a mujahid in the path of Allah. Obviously, it's wajib to earn money from halal. But giving importance more than what is due is condemned in Islam. You need to give as much importance to earning as it is due, not more than that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kafeel. Allah is the sponsor of the risk. And so this is why our scholars say that you give tawajjuh ijmalan. That means to some extent. Not entirely, not entire focus of your hamm wa gham is on the matter of risk. This is very dangerous. This is a very dangerous red flag. If any person has a lot of focus on making money more than what is Islamically acceptable and due, this is a big red flag. Remember the story of Ta'laba? Ta'laba used to live in Medina in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was poor. And he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, pray to Allah to provide from more risk, more money, more wealth. Prophet asked him to do qana'at. He went away. After a while, he again came back to Rasulullah and again said the same demand. Ask Allah to give me more money. Prophet said, don't you want to follow my sunnah? In other words, if I pray, Allah can convert all the mountains into gold and silver for me. All the mountains in the world can be converted into gold and silver for me. Isn't that right? That's so true. If the Prophet would have prayed, Allah, he is mustajabu da'wah. His dua is always accepted. He can be full of gold and silver. Did the Prophet ever pray that? He had access his dua is already accepted, but he never prayed to Allah to convert mountains or, you know, gold and silver and fill up gold and silver. He can do ta'weel and tawjih like some of the Muslimin do. You know, oh, if I make more money, I will serve Islam and yatama and masakeen and fuqara and do this service to Islam. And don't try to overdo the hikmat and wisdom of Allah. Allah is al-hakim al-mutlaq, the absolute wise. When according to his al-hikmat al-mutlaqa, his absolute wisdom, he in his qada and qadr has destined that you should get this much risk, then this is the best for you. We must have iman that whatever Allah decides for us, yeah, that doesn't mean you're not allowed to pray. Yes, you can pray. You can always do the dua. There is no problem in doing the dua. But if the dua is not accepted, don't feel bad in your qalb. Don't feel bad in your heart if the dua is not accepted. This is a sign of iman. There is no restriction on seeking dua against what Allah is doing for you. Allah is giving you less, you won't seek dua more, fine, do it. But if Allah doesn't provide more, don't feel bad in your qalb. This is the iman. You're not supposed to feel bad about any of the decisions of Allah or the Prophet. فَوَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So we don't need to have even haraj in our qalb about what has been decided. So Allah's qada and qadr is supreme. Now, Prophet did nasihat to Sa'laba again. He went away. He came for a third time. It happened several times. He came and Prophet was advising him several times. When he came several times, then finally, Prophet prayed to Allah to give him. And after the dua of the Prophet, when he went back, he found he had some sheep. Goat, sheep, you know, some herd of the sheep. After the dua of the Holy Prophet, Allah provided barakat into his sheep. So he had so many babies, and his herd started to increase and increase and increase. Finally, he was a haris, bakhil, and tamma' person. He has tamah and greed and hirs, and he was bakhil as well. Sometimes some of the bad sifat of a person are hidden. When the time of imtihan and bala comes, that's where the sifat come out. Otherwise, a person himself does not understand sometimes that I have hirs. You know, fi tasarif al ahwal, hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, fi tasarif al ahwal. In the changes of situations, the essences of the humans, of the men, appear. What is your johar? What is your actual essence? That appears at the time of test. In the normal situation, sometimes the person himself does not discover how many problems, spiritual illnesses I have, why Allah is doing this and this and this to me. The person himself does not discover, he doesn't have that ma'rifat of the religion. So we find, yeah, if you can go and find an arif, mushtahid, arif can find out what problem you have in your soul, but a regular person cannot understand. So we find that finally when his sheep started to increase, he did not hire any person to take care of the sheep. He was taking care of the sheep himself because he wanted to save money. So there were so many sheep in his herd because of the dua and the barakat because of the dua of the Holy Prophet that he could not handle in that small area which he had in the city of Medina, his hometown. So he had to go out in the outskirts of the city of Medina, make another place for his sheep which is bigger. We don't analyze some of the after effects of our actions, you know. Now, because he used to attend every salat with jama'at of Rasulullah. He used to pray salat al-fajr in jama'at behind Rasulullah in Masjid al-Nabi. Salatul Dhuhrain in Jama'at, Salatul Maghribain in Jama'at. Now that he moved outside the city of Medina, now he used to come only for Salatul Dhuhrain. Salatul Fajr and Salatul Maghribain, he used to pray for Adha in his own place. This is one big loss, spiritual loss, to leave the musahabat and thawab of being in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much time do we have for Salat? 5 minutes? Okay, then we'll continue it later on, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.